Let us all say amen. Amen. Indeed, we are going a way. Whether it be the right way or the wrong way, one day we are going to go that way. And I don't know about you, I make plans to make my calling and election sure. And Peter said, if you do this, you will never stumble nor will you fall. And I want to encourage each and every one of us. It's good to see you this morning once again. God has blessed us to be back at this place. Hope all is well with you. Just want to encourage your heart as we continue to move forward. It's hard to believe that it is 8 months in 2019. I must be getting old. I'm thanking him, sister. But I just want to encourage your hearts this morning as we continue to move forward. We've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 20 and 21, where Paul writes these words to the believers, reminding them of who they are and what God has truly blessed us with. Church, it is a blessing to be a child of the Most High God. Such a blessing that it ought to motivate us and move us to a higher plateau in our Christian walk. Matter of fact, being a child of God is the most important thing you'll ever do on this time side of life. I know, they say getting a good education, a right job, three hots in a cot will really be what it's all about. But no, I'm learning that one day you're going to stand before his judgment seat. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9 and round about verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, after death comes the judgment. And so I don't know about you, that when I stand before that judgment seat, I want to make sure that I am ready to hear the words, well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. And you know, and I believe each and every one of us can hear those words if we continue to do what God requires of each and every one of us. And so in this lesson text here, the Apostle Paul would write these words to remind the believers of that very thing. He first and foremost tells us as believers, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 7, your walk ought to be a right type of walk. We ought to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm a firm believer that when we start trusting God, depending on God, and helping God to be the motivating factor in our lives, church, half of the problems we face, we won't face. In the midst of trials and tribulations, you'll have a smile on your face. Some people will think that you're the Joker from Batman. Amen. Somewhere down the line, as believers, this thing ought to register to such a degree that men and women are drawn to the cross merely by the life that we live. And like I always tell you, when we open our mouths, we'll blow people away. Why? Because of who we are and what God has bestowed upon each and every one of us. And so I'm learning that my faith in God depends on my service to God. Amen. And I'm learning that if I'm going to serve God, it has to be on his terms and his terms only. Amen, Walls. Because I know everybody sitting up in here got your own terms. Amen. Anybody ain't got some terms in here? I didn't think so. We all have our own terms. But I'm learning, church, that if we're going to really live up to what we say we are, then we have to live up to the terms and the conditions. You know, I bought a doorbell the other day. And on that guarantee, it said, if it don't work, if it don't properly function, you got a guarantee to return it. No charge. We'll pay for shipping. Boy, I like them kind of guarantees. Why? Because it is defective. Church, we got a guarantee from God. Revelations chapter 2 and round about verse number 10, be thou faithful to death, and I will give thee a crown of life. You sure it didn't say be thou faithful till you retire? Be thou faithful till you can't see no more? No, it said be thou faithful to death. And so that tells me right there that there is a retirement plan in the Lord, but it's not based upon what we think it is. See, I got a retirement plan, so do you. How many of y'all been retired for a while? Like your benefits, don't you? Huh? You like your benefits? No, not really. But one day, you're going to retire from this time side of life. What will be your payoff And I'm learning that my payoff wants to be in the company of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So therefore, if I got a retirement plan coming, then that means I must work the work now so I can get the retirement plan. John chapter 9 and round about verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while there is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. Church, I want to guarantee that when you leave here that I have a retirement plan, and I got one, church. I got one this morning, and you know something? It's out of this world. Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. Come on. And so I just want to encourage your hearts as this week starts to unfold that you stay focused on who we are. We've been in this text for 8 months. 8 months, and every time I open up the book to go to this particular text, there's always something that's popping out at me. And even then, when I talk to brothers and sisters, you always give me, you know what, I didn't think it that way. And I wind up with a message. And so this morning's message is a message that's taken out of this very text. The title of the lesson is Life's L-I-F-E Example. Okay? And I want to show you that our life example as an ambassador ought to be known to everybody we come in contact with. Matter of fact, our example of our lives is what's going to motivate and drive people to obey what thus saith the Lord. Jesus said in 1 John chapter 1 and 5 or 6, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, John said it, we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and the blood of our Lord and Savior cleanse us from all iniquity. I want to encourage us this morning as we look at this text once again, think about your life. Matter of fact, Jesus, James, I think it was James. James says, what is your life? You ever ask yourself a question? What is my life? Is it about the pain and the suffering I go through? All of the distractions and all of the disappointments that I go through? No, James says, what is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and it vanishes away. If life is that short, what kind of people ought we to be? What kind of children of God ought we to be? We ought to be the most excited, the most motivated, the most enthused people on the face of the earth. Why? Because I got an inheritance. I got a retirement plan that nobody can take from me. And guess what? It's guaranteed by God himself. And so that ought to motivate us to live our lives for him. That ought to encourage us to do what God requires of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and round about verse number 17. Paul says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God who has reconciled us by Jesus Christ and have given to us this ministry of reconciliation. Paul says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the words of reconciliation. God has placed upon the hearts of everyone that has obeyed him the commandments to do the will of the Father. And I'm learning, church, that when you start doing kingdom business, boy, your business is nothing. Amen. I'm learning that when you really get on fire for the Lord, people will look at you like you crazy. Amen. Why? Because, see, when you start doing things God's way, God kind of holds things back at you. You don't believe me? Look at Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. Yeah. When Job did what God required of him, God protected him with a hedge. And guess what? He does the same thing for you and I. I want to encourage us this morning that in this text here, as ambassadors of Christ, we really need to understand the life of an ambassador. And I'm going to show you this morning that the life of an ambassador understands certain things about him. In Colossians chapter 1 and round about verse number 12, this is words that the ambassador understands. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. See, my life is a life that I understand that I was once lost. I was once alienated from God. But thanks be to God, he could look down the cord of time and say, stand needs a Savior. And guess what? I'm going to send him strictly for Stan. Amen. Amen. You can have him too if you accept him. And as the result of that, my life has changed simply because of Christ being in me. What is your life? It's a vapor. You know, how much do it take before we change the way we think? And I'm learning that as children of God, we have everything we need. Amen. We're worried about everything under the sun. Amen. How many of y'all worried about our health? You don't have to answer. Worried about the bills. Worried about this. Worried about that. How many of us are really worried about heaven? Because, see, if you're worried about it, you'll get right. It's just like everything else. When you're worried about a bill, what do? You pay it. So if you're concerned about heaven, shouldn't you be trying to make your calling and election sure? Huh? But I'm going to tell you, you can't do that unless you understand something about how to get yourself right. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 2, Peter says, verse 3, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, by what? By the promise that God has given us, we might be partakers of the divine nature. If I want to partake of the divine nature of God, I got to do something. Amen. Coming here on Sunday and Wednesday, this is just a drop in the bucket. The real test of your Christianity is out there. The real test of an ambassador is when somebody asks the ambassador to go beyond himself. And when you're able to go beyond yourself, you give God the glory and the honor that's due here. So in order for me to live up to what God requires of me, verse number 5 says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience to patience, godliness to godliness, brotherly kindness. See, it's not enough to say I love somebody. Amen. Don't we all say that? You don't? Okay. It's not enough to say it. It has to be some demonstration of. And we didn't get to the lesson this morning, but I want to tell you the lesson we're going to be looking at next week is called The Ambassador of Mercy. Right. And I want to show us just because we say we're ambassadors, we might not be. We might be an ambassador, but it might not be the ambassadors that we think that we are. But I'll leave that for next week. But verse number 7 says, and to brotherly kindness, godliness, and to godliness, kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be in you and abound. See, it's not enough to say you love someone. There's got to be some action. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things, Peter says, you're blind. You mean I can see and I'm blind? Yes. Yes. Peter says, you're blind, cannot see afar off, and you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And I don't know about you. When I stop and think about my past, boy, I am so thankful to God that I don't have to beat myself with them. Amen. I am so thankful that he has forgiven me and he says he will not remember them no more. So I don't care how much you dig. Amen, walls. God has forgiven me. And guess what? I forgave me. Amen. Amen. That's probably why we can't fly. Can we be like Peter Pan and have forgotten how to? Come on. Some of y'all with me this morning. The rest of y'all going home back. But church, when you understand who you are, life takes on a whole new meaning. I know who I am, and I know where I'm headed. And you know what? And I know that that crooked-eyed fella is waiting for me to cause me to stumble. I know that. I know he's out looking for me. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to stay with the book. And I'm going to stay with those that want to do what God said. And I've learned 1 Corinthians 15, 33, and all of my kids can quote that by heart. And I taught them that from the very beginning. And what does it say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. And I've learned to hang with folks that have some good manners. Amen. We live in a world that don't have any anymore. Somewhere down the line, if we can't be the example of good manners, well, I guess you might as well close the doors and go on home. Because, church, we are the example. And all of this is in preparation to show you the life of an ambassador. The ambassador, as children of God, we have an awesome responsibility. That's why in the day of judgment, he says we're going to have a difficult time. You know, and that's what scares me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, after I have preached to others, I myself might be disqualified or be a castaway. Church, that's why I tell it just like a T.I. is. If you like it, fine. If you don't like it, see Jesus, because it's coming out of his book. Why? Because, church, my job is to warn you, to encourage you, to build you up, and to let you know that it's best that you don't know the truth. Amen. But to know it and don't do it, the Bible says it's like the true proverb. A dog returned to his vomit, and a pig, after you clean it up, go right back into the mud. I want to encourage our hearts this morning. As ambassadors of Christ, our life makes a difference. We are the world's last hope. Whether you believe that or not, the world needs Jesus Christ. He needs God's folks to stand up and be counted. Amen. And I know we're so afraid. That's why we all got them shades that pulled down. Because we don't want nobody to see us. But church, we're the example. Let me show you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12. Paul writes these words to young Timothy, reminding Timothy and encouraging Timothy that, Timothy, you got to be the example because people are looking at you. I know the history of you, Timothy. They don't like you because you're not like them. But because Jesus have died for your sins, guess what? You are like them. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and round about verse number 12, Paul tells Timothy, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. You notice it didn't say to the believer, of the believer. That reminds me of what Paul says. The things you've seen and heard in me, the same commit thou to who? No, just the whole church, anybody. No, he says, commit thou to faithful men. Why faithful men? Because they're going to be able to teach others. That's why I gave you that packet. I want to make sure that I've done all I can so when the good Lord calls me, I don't have to have none of your blood on my hand. I got enough of my own blood, and I don't need anyone else. Church, that's why it's so important that when we understand who we are, we'll change the world out there. You having problems in your household? I got the answer. It's right here in the book. Having problems with yourself? I got the answer. Surrender your will to the will of God, and God will take care of everything else. And I'm learning, church, that when you and I collectively be like God intended us to be, Satan takes off. He has to. John chapter 17 and round about verse number 20, Jesus says, pray not thee for these alone, but all that believe in me, pray that they be one just like you and I, Father, are one. How can we be one with God the Father and the Son? He gave us the Spirit. Amen. That's why we take short the Spirit of God. And you know why? Because the Spirit of God gonna make you do right. Amen. It's going to control that monster that's behind them pearly whites. Amen. It's going to change this old thought pattern up here because, see, the Spirit of God does not operate separate and apart from the Word of God. If the Word of God say, love thy neighbor as thyself, and you picking and choosing, you ain't got the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God operates totally different. Why? Because it's going to teach us, it's going to guide us into all things. And so Paul tells Timothy, be an example of the believer. How? In word. In word. Not your feelings. Not what you think. In word. What does that mean? John chapter 5 and verse number 39, Jesus says, search the Scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life, but these are they that testify concerning me. John chapter 6 and round about verses 32 and 33, Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. You will know the truth. And what would the truth do? Set you free. It's inferred there in that passage of Scripture that many of the disciples were in bondage. and they were walking with Jesus. You're looking at me funny. I got the Bible for it. John chapter 6 and round about verse 62, Jesus told those Jews and even his disciples, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. The Bible says, the disciple says, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? The Bible said many of his disciples turned and walked no more with him. But I like Jesus, and I'm learning to be just like him. I ain't chasing nobody. Amen. I'll chase you if you want to be chased, but I'm not chasing nobody. The Bible said Jesus turned to the 12 and said, do you also want to go? Boy, see, you need to know something about Jesus. He ain't going to track you down. He ain't going to make you go out here and seek and save the lost. He ain't going to make you come on the first day of the week. He ain't going to make you do nothing. Amen. But he will also ask you a question. Do you want to go somewhere else? But Peter said, Lord, whom can we go to? You have the words of eternal life. Therefore, we are persuaded that thou art the Son of the living God. Peter understood who Jesus was as long as Jesus was with him. Because he had some problems just like you and I got problems. See, that's the reason why I know this Christianity is something that you got to put on every day. And every day you put it on, you got to examine yourself whether or not you're doing what God say. And then when you fall short, you got to have enough humbleness, enough meekness to say, Father, I've messed up. Please help me get on the right track. He says, be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in purity, in faith. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to doctrine, to exhortation. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the eldership. And then he says, take heed unto thyself, unto the doctrine continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Church, I'm a firm believer. The world is looking for you, just like it's looking for me. And it's looking for some answers. We live in a world, people got some problems. Amen. People are looking for something, and it just blows me away. We can talk about everything under God's green apron but God. And then with a straight face, we got the nerves to call ourselves Christian. With the straight face. Amen. I don't know how it got there, but that don't cost you nothing. See, the life of an ambassador is an example to the world around him. His life shows the world that is in so much darkness and so much chaos that you don't have to stay there because Jesus makes the difference. And I'm learning that when he makes the difference in the life of the believer can make the difference in the community in which he served and within his own household. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Jesus says, ye are the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works, glorify your Father which is in heaven. Church, we're the light. We're the world's hope for eternal salvation. But if we're asleep on the job, if our light is going out, you know, some of us are still using candles. Some is elevated to LEDs. But church, I don't know about you. I've elevated to the light, the true light that comes into the world. And that light is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus had a mindset. He had an attitude. And I'm learning, church, that when you and I have that same mindset and attitude, boy, we'll show the world our life as ambassadors of Christ. And I want to show you real quickly the life of an ambassador. That's right. You know something about the life of an ambassador? He learns to love. Amen. I used to think that that word L-O-V-E was an automatic word. Nope. Because I didn't love getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning to take care of my children. Oh, no. I didn't love some of the things that I've gone through in life. But the true child of God, the true ambassador, he learns how to love. Matthew chapter 22 and round about verse number 36. The Jews came to Jesus and said, Master, what is the greatest commandment? And you know, and they did this for a purpose. They wanted to tempt him. They wanted to test him to see if he really understood what love was all about. Tina said, what's it got to do with it? Every single thing in the world. Because without agape love, guess what, church? You and I wouldn't even have a chance to be saved. That's right. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent the very best to show us what love is. Because in Genesis chapter 1, when he made man and woman and placed them in a garden, he loved them so much that he told them, I got one thing for you to do. Be fruitful and multiply. But go read your Bible. Amen. The tree that's in the midst, don't mess with it. Well, why, Lord? You don't need to know. Just don't mess with it. And when that disobedient came into the world, God had to take them out of the garden of love. Because sin had entered into the world. But see, I'm learning that you have to learn how to love somebody. And you love somebody in spite of themselves. And when you're able to elevate yourself, and when I say the word elevate, I really mean humble yourself. See, because that's what love is all about. Love is humbling yourself and allow somebody else to have over you. That's what true love is. True love is being able to elevate yourself, to lower yourself. Romans chapter 12 and round about verse number 9 and following. Paul says, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate toward one another in brotherly love, and honor preferring. See, true love is being able to humble yourself and let someone else have their way. Isn't that what Jesus did? He did it on the cross. He says, I love my Father, and I always do the things that please him. Did he have a mindset of his own? Yes, he did. Three times in the garden. But when you read those four accounts of Jesus in the garden, and I challenge you to go put the gospel side by side. One of the gospel, Jesus says, for this cause is why I'm here. I came here to die. Get on up. Let's go. It's time to move forward. But see, you got to learn what love is. Matthew chapter 22 and round about verse number 36, the Bible says, Master, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like unto it, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. See, you have to learn how to love. And when you learn how to love the way God intended us to love, the world will change. How do I know that? John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. What's the commandment? That you love one another. See, we can't change the world out there until we change in here. Amen, Walls. Y'all don't have to answer to me. That's all right. I know how to spit it out and give the amen on my own. You know why? Because I know what thus saith the Lord. New commandment I give unto you is that you love one another. If we can't love in here, you can forget about out there. Maybe that's why. Never mind. Let me go on. That you love one another as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. How? By the love we have for one another. And when we have that type of love, church, you don't have to put up any kind of signs. You don't have to hang nothing around your neck. You don't have to put it on your bumper sticker. Folks will be drawn because they will see the love that we have for one another. And see, and when you learn how to love, guess what? You'll understand the I am. The I am. Who is the I am? That's God the Father. And see, and I'm learning that when you really understand who the I am is, then it'll motivate you to a higher plateau. Abraham asked God, well, who are you? Just like Moses asked, who sent you? Who am I? Who am I to tell Pharaoh something? Genesis chapter 15 and round about verse number 7. God says these words to Abraham, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of Chaldean to give thee a land to an inheritance. God is the I Am. And when you understand who the I Am is, then you'll understand where God has taken you. God has brought us a mighty long ways. You and I don't have to die on the cross to be saved. It's already been done. But you and I have to die daily to sin and to make our calling and election sure. Abraham understood some things about God. And see, and when you understand some things about God, you'll understand that there's nothing impossible for the God that you serve. How many of us got him in a box? I want to challenge you. Unleash him. And I guarantee you, if you unleash the God that's in this book, boy, you walk around here and your life will take on some serious meaning. Let me show you something about the God that I serve. Genesis chapter 17 and round about verse number 1. The Bible says, and when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Churchill, you know who you serve? We serve the I Am. And because we serve the I Am, church, nothing ought to stop us and move us in any direction but to make heaven our home. Moses asked God, well, who am I to tell Pharaoh who sent me? Who am I to tell the children of Israel who sent me? Exodus chapter 3 and round about verse number 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children out of Egypt, out of Egypt? And he said concerning, I will be with thee, and this shall be a taken unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God unto this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto this children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? You ever ask yourself a question, what is God's name? Look at what the Bible says. What shall I say unto them? Verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Oh, yeah. Hey, anybody know anything about the Ten Commandments, the movie? Boy, that always excites me when he gets up there. Why? Because Moses don't speak for Moses. He speaks from the power of God. Said that I am that I am. And he said, thus shall thy say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. Very powerful, church. And I'm learning that when we really understand who the I Am is, this God that we serve, it will develop faith, trust, and obedience. Amen. I don't know about you. The life of the ambassador is a life that tells the world something about him and our lives. But first and foremost, you got to learn what some love is. Love hung on the cross for Stan. Love was buried for Stan. Love on the third day rose that Stan might have the right to the tree of life. That's why I do what I do, because I understand what love is. Love is a God that said in Genesis chapter 6, I repent I ever made you. But I'll make a way back for you. Why? Because I truly love my creation. And see, and I'm learning that when you really understand the faith, the trust, and the obedience, the life of an ambassador, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. I'm telling you about the life of an ambassador. See, the life of the ambassador learns how to love. He understands the God, the Father, the I Am. And his faith, his trust is not dependent on him, but it's dependent on God himself. And you know why? Because he knows he's going to have eternal salvation. That's what motivates me. That one day when I close my eyes, I'll hear the words, well done. enter into the joys of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and round about verse number 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with glory. Paul understood that. Paul reminded Timothy, be steadfast, be unmovable. Paul reminded the church at Corinth that if you stick with God, God has promised you something, eternal salvation. And that's why John, as he's in exile on the island of Patmos, would write these words to the seven churches in the Asia Minor area, reminding them that your faith and trust in God has to be until he calls you from labor to the other side. Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Hope I've said something this morning, church, to encourage your heart. The life of an ambassador should be evidence to everybody we come in contact with. And I'm learning that the more we talk about Jesus, you know, problems just go away. How many of y'all sitting here worried about something this morning? Don't raise your hand. No. No, don't raise your hand, because I know we are. But how many of us are worried about dying? You know, if you miss Wednesday night, you missed a good class. You missed a good class. I know there might be some issues with it, but you missed a good class. You missed a good class, because one day, you know what? All of us are going to stand before his judgment seat. Amen. And you know what? Paul said to the church at Corinth, you're going to give an account. Boy, if the IRS knocked on your door today and said, you're going to give an account of everything you've done from the time you were born up until now, or the FBI, boy, you would be scared to death, wouldn't you? And you know what? You would try your utmost to give them every answer that they're looking for. Well, Jesus is knocking this morning. He wants to know, will you answer the door and let him in? He wants to know, are you going to remain steadfast and unmovable till I call you? Revelation chapter 3 and round about verse number 20. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in, sup with you, and you can sup with me. I want to encourage this church, 8 months, ambassadors of Christ. Have we been living up to the task? Like I say, Sunday and Wednesday is nothing. The true test is when we're out there. But this is the full service station. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. The rest of y'all going on back. The rest of y'all going on back. This morning, let me check your oil. What about your fluid in your windshield wipe? Is it a little low? You know, you can't see too much. You can't see. Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. You know what? Look like your antifreeze is a little low, too. Oh, yes. I'm sorry if y'all don't understand where I'm at. But, church, somewhere down the line, this thing ought to excite us to where we can look at life from the eyes of Jesus Christ. And as we look at the eyes from Jesus Christ, everybody you come in contact with, you know that they need to be saved. Want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ, stay on track. Don't allow Satan to pull you from your steadfastness. If you're visiting and not a member, want to encourage you to think about your soul salvation. You've heard the word of God this morning. I hope and pray I presented it in a way that you can receive it. God is looking for a few good men and women to serve him. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.